It was a movement born out of the George Floyd protests for racial justice. Hundreds of people who had experienced homelessness camped out on the Ben Franklin Parkway, on Ridge Avenue, and squatted in empty houses across the city, all demanding affordable housing. Finally, after months of negotiations with the city and federal housing officials, the two sides came to a historic agreement last week that will eventually allow encampment residents to move into permanent homes. So how were they able to strike a deal? And could it make a dent in Philadelphia's affordable housing problem? I'm Annette John Hall. This is The Why. WHYY reporter Susan Phillips has been covering this story since the encampment sprung up this summer. The biggest one on the Ben Franklin Parkway quickly grew into a small village with a kitchen and a medical tent. So, Susan, the last time we spoke, and I think it was way back in the summer in June, the city had ordered everybody in the encampment on the parkway to leave, and the city gave them a deadline. So what's happened since then?
There actually were three eviction notices, and each time the city backed off because each time the residents of this encampment basically said, "We're not leaving." And in one case, they actually put up barricades. They recruited activists to come and support them. And so there never was direct confrontation between city officials and the police. In the meantime, neighbors, of course, started complaining about this large, basically tent village right on the Benjamin Franklin Parkway. You know, it's the city's crown jewel. And there was a standoff.
How bad is the housing crisis in Philadelphia?
It's pretty bad. There is an estimate of 5,500 people who are homeless in the city. And there's an astounding number of people on a waiting list for public housing. Right now, there's about 47,000 people on this waiting list. And the list itself has not accepted any more people for the past couple years. And, you know, this also begs the question, right, what is affordable? And one of the messages from a lot of the people in that camp was that, look, the income levels that you're basing affordable housing on are much higher than what a lot of people make.
Right. And so the protesters were demanding housing that was affordable for them.
Not just that, they were demanding permanent housing. These people were tired of living in shelters. One of the things I heard over and over again from people is basically these shelters, they have a lot of rules. You have to get back to the shelter at 8 o'clock at night and leave by 6 in the morning. There's all these rules, and they often described it as a low-level prison.
So how did the city react to their demands?
In the beginning, the city kept saying, and what I kept hearing was, there's not much we can do for you except give you these shelters. It's important for people to understand the city's Office of Homeless Services, they provide temporary shelter. They are not necessarily in the business of providing permanent housing for people. And it's the federal Philadelphia Housing Authority that operates affordable housing units in the city, whether that's a housing development or whether that's, you know, what is commonly known as Section 8 housing. So one of the main sticking points was the fact that there are hundreds of empty houses scattered throughout the city, most of them owned by the federal government under the Philadelphia Housing Authority. The city also owns some empty housing. And the organizers were saying, look, you have all these empty houses. You have all these homeless people. The homeless people should be in the empty houses. The problem was a lot of these houses are not up to code. They need a lot of repairs. In the meantime, what they did was they started putting people in these houses anyway. And a number of homeless mothers started squatting these houses.
You're paying for rodents to live in these houses. They're paying for animals to live in these houses, mice and rats. That's what's living in these properties.
I talked to one of the squatters, Patrice. We're actually only using her and her daughter's middle names because squatting is illegal. So she's lived in and out of the shelter system and on the streets for about 4 years.
You lose it all out there, tell you the truth. I lost it all. I became very miserable. I was drained out there, drained.
She's also been on the waiting list for public housing for about 8 years, ever since her little girl, Viola, was born. Viola told me she was really, really happy when her mother first showed her the house, and then she took her upstairs and showed her her room.
So when I first came into this house, the look on my face was pretty like a surprise face like this. And then my mom showed me my room, and I was happy, but soon I was kind of tired.
What ended up happening with the negotiations between the protesters and the city?
So eventually they cut a deal. And the deal is they will get about 50 houses that are owned by the federal government and the city to fix up, and it will become a land trust. Basically, what a land trust is a nonprofit organization that will own these houses, and these houses will be affordable housing forever. There are a number of other solutions that are on the table as well. There's the creation of a tiny house village the city promised to start building by the end of this year. And what that is it's basically an outdoor shelter. Like, people have their own wooden house, basically. It's the size of a bedroom. And then they share kitchen and bathroom facilities. So there's a number of different solutions that they negotiated at the bargaining table.
So, Susan, just to be clear, are the people who were in the encampments going to be able to move into the houses that were part of the deal?
Yes. And keep in mind, Annette, that perhaps not every single person at the encampment will get one of these houses. And also, these houses need to be fixed up. Some of them, you know, need more repair than others, so they won't be able to necessarily move into every house right away. But eventually, the idea is that they will.
What happens to the protesters in the meantime? I mean, the people squatting in the houses and in the encampments, where do they go?
The people who are squatting for now can remain in those homes. Some of those homes will be on the list of homes to be transferred to the land trust. A lot of people who are at the encampment, they will probably be going into shelters. Some of them will be going into shared housing situations. Some of them may just decide not to go into either situation. You know, they may move somewhere else in the city and still live unsheltered outside. I think it's going to be a mixture of all three.
When we come back,
is this sort of a one-shot deal, or does something much more longer term come out of this?
This is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall. I'm talking to WHYY's Susan Phillips about what comes next for the deal struck between the city and the encampment protesters. Susan, this seems like a huge corner that's been turned on the issue of affordable housing. How historical is this moment?
I think it's pretty historical. I mean, it does have a precedent, right? It's not the first time there has been a situation where homeless advocates and homeless people have advocated for themselves. So this happened back in the 80s when there was a group of activists that occupied 14 city-owned houses. They were squatting in these houses, and they pressured Wilson Good, who was the mayor at the time. I spoke to Dennis Culhane. He's a professor at the University of Pennsylvania. And at that time, he was part of this activist movement.
We prevailed. a good administration agreed to deed over 300 homes, and a CDC was created to manage the inventory, and it's called Dignity Housing.
They also created, you know, a structure called a land trust, a community land trust, and that community land trust exists to this day.
But what about encampments, Susan? I mean, we heard about squatting as an act of protest, but are the encampments something new?
Well, the encampments themselves are not new. So what's new is that this particular encampment was very deliberate as a form of protest. Previous encampments in the city have simply been housing solution, right? People tend to start pitching tents together because they can share resources. But those situations have always been broken up by the city. Whereas in this case, like we said earlier, the barricades went up when the eviction notices were posted. So this was very different in that respect.
What's unique about this situation is that it's specifically organized as a political protest. The idea of people organizing an encampment explicitly around, you know, a political campaign is pretty unique.
It sounds like the protesters won, did they?
In many ways, they did win. They didn't win everything they wanted. And again, not every individual at the encampment is necessarily happy with the deal. But negotiations are all about compromise. They may have gotten more than they expected. I mean, one of the things that Jen Benich, the organizer, told me is that, you know, she's been talking about PHA housing and empty PHA housing for years now. And she told me she was just so determined to make that happen.
I don't think that during this process, I really thought we were going to get something. I don't even think I fully processed like that we are getting something. Like, I mean, we went from like waiting for the cops and having choppers flying over our head to like this.
And what about the city? Did they get anything good out of this?
Well, their main goal was to get people off the parkway, and they didn't want to do it by using force. They knew that that would look really bad to come in there with police. And even Mayor Kenney admitted that.
The alternative is to forcefully, with police, remove people. And that's not a pretty sight often or anytime. And we like to try to avoid that. And we think we're almost there.
So we'll have to see what happens. But what the city got was a promise that the camp would be emptied out without having to use police.
I'm wondering what happens next. What can we expect to see in the days ahead as this whole deal moves forward?
Well, I think there's just a lot of work that has to be done. There's a lot of moving parts when it comes to transferring this large amount of properties to a new nonprofit. I mean, the nonprofit itself has to establish itself and become a community land trust. I think what the city wants to see and what the neighborhood wants to see is that those tents start coming down. And that's probably what you're going to be seeing over the next couple days.
Susan, what kind of long-term impact does this have? Because you mentioned that while the protesters in the city had reached a deal, this doesn't solve Philly's affordable housing crisis by a long shot, does it?
No. And that's a question, I think, that's on my mind right now is this sort of a one-shot deal or does something much more longer term come out of this? So will the activists and will some of the homeless people now be working more directly with, say, the city's Office of Homeless Services or with PHA to help solve some of these problems in ways that are agreeable to all sides? You know, and also, Annette, people are expecting that because of the pandemic, the economic crisis that's created, people are expecting a lot more evictions and they're expecting a lot more homelessness in response to that, unless there are, you know, more dollars spent in a relief package at the federal level. So will this solve homelessness in the city of Philadelphia? No. Will it help create a system that is more inclusive about how to address these issues in the future? That's something we're just going to have to wait and see.
Susan, thank you so much for following this story for many, many months now.
Oh, you're welcome.
That was WHYY reporter Susan Phillips. The Y is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Alex Stern, Kelsey Hansen, Sabrina Boyd Circa, and Malcolm Burnley, under the editorial direction of Katie Culinary. We had editing help for this episode from Joanne McLaughlin. Hit me up on Twitter at AnnetteJH. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and well, and we'll talk Thursday.